Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this May 4th, 2023. Your host, James J. Mailoff here. We're joined by our good friend, Matt Lippert, ag agent with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
How have you been?
Good.
It feels like it's been a while since we've seen you, Matt, and we've had you on the air with us and everything, but that's understandable. You've been a bit busy. You just got back from a trip, I understand.
Oh, yeah.
Or was that recently you just got back, or was it the trip a little while ago, or...
I've been back almost a month now.
Okay. So you've gotten your time back and your sleep schedule's back.
Yeah. I shouldn't use, if I'm slow to the answer, it's not jet lag. That should not be a reason any longer.
You went to Australia recently. Was that just for fun? Was that, did that have a little business aspect to it or anything? Or?
Well, it was for fun, but my version of fun. I went with a group called the Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin. So they've been doing a few international trips. So we went to see things you want to see in Australia, but we also saw, I think we saw 10 dairy farms. So probably if you signed up for a tour to Australia, they wouldn't send you to 10 dairy farms.
Maybe not. Yeah. But I find it interesting. So, going into this topic, one of the early things you and I talked about and you really opened my mind to was the communication of farmers from northern Wisconsin to southern Wisconsin and the way that this is maybe more now than it's ever been of sharing of information, of how important that is for this industry to survive, to be healthy. I hadn't thought about it on a world scale. I hadn't thought about that part of it before. Obviously, going to be different soil in Australia than there are here in Wisconsin. You're going to have some different factors. But I would think that the core information or the core sharing of that has got to go a long way.
Oh, and we met some people that presented about the management of their watershed is what they're talking about. But they were organizing a trip for younger farmers to come to Wisconsin. So they were gathering names from us and so forth. But so, there's a lot of exchange. And actually with this trip, so they've been to New Zealand, Ireland, Germany, and the Netherlands together. A lot of these people have traveled together multiple times. So there's maybe as much interest about catching up with the other travelers. But yeah, certainly it's very interesting to learn how they manage a dairy. And we did Tasmania sometimes. Mm. That's part of this country of Australia, but it's off the mainland. Mm. So we are in Tasmania as well. So you're right. It's great to learn from other people.
What were some of the highlights of the trip as far as that goes, as far as seeing things like, oh, they do this similarly here, or, oh, we can use some of that here in our states? Or
so they do a lot of grazing, which we don't on our dairy farm. There are some folks that do, but typically Wisconsin dairy farming, partly because I think it snowed since May here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it has.
So it's been snowing since before... It snowed in October before Halloween through May. So obviously they can do that a little different. So they do more grazing than we do, but we saw quite a diversity of farms, more than some of these other trips, actually. So we saw some 5,000 cow dairies that were kind of using a U.S. model, rotary milking parlor. People that were milking robotically, the cows decide when they want to get milked.
Right.
Yeah, and then we had some grazing farms. We had a lot of people that were direct marketing their product, which very few farmers here in the U.S. They market through their co-op or they sell their milk. But there was one that was bottling milk for consumers in Malaysia. Hmm. There was one that was selling kind of an organic, biodynamic product, making ice cream that had a big following of people that liked their ice cream. Mm. And then, not to talk just about the dairy, other agriculture, we saw hazelnuts, avocados, wine, grapes, two instances of wine, and then we saw olives for olive oil.
Oh, okay. Huh.
So we saw that, and then we got to visit, we were in the harbor in Sydney at night, that opera house.
Yeah, yeah, it's first thing
really
I thought
of. A beautiful building. Yeah. Nice setting. So we did touristy things as well. We made sure we saw some kangaroos and Tasmanian devil. The Tasmanian, most people have never seen one. So you go to a zoo to actually see one.
Yeah. I imagine they are nothing like what we grew up on cartoon-wise.
No. But they're actually endangered. They have a canker that's... they give to each other that's not good.
You and I don't often get to talk conservation with this subject and everything. I like to put a lot of the focus on our farmers and needs or information that is great, but that is certainly a part of ag. That is certainly a big part of the industry, and that's something that I know is very important in Australia. I think that while it's you're touching on just things that you took in as a tourist, that also pops in my head too about this subject and the need of that and the importance of it, just as much there as it is here.
You know, there's a lot of things. Yes, it is very important. Just related to that topic, there's so many things that are the same but different in Australia. So you can go there and you're not going to third world country. Mm-hmm. So if you're not comfortable with that, you know, they have freeways and mm-hmm. good hotels and good restaurants. They speak English. Mm-hmm. But some things that are different is the country is not much smaller than the continental U.S., but there's only, 30 million people?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
In the entire country.
It's crazy.
So, we have, 325 million people?
Yeah.
So that's different, and that relates to conservation in that there's a lot of natural landscapes. And we felt like we traveled a lot, but if you plot that on a map where we were never in the outback, mm-hmm. you know, where they have hundreds of thousands of acres on a ranch, or they call a station. We weren't there, but we still saw their sense of open spaces and really a lot of clean, nice, natural environment, pretty pure water, woodscapes, eucalyptus forest is actually what they do.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. Just that sentence sounds amazing. I can't imagine what it is seeing. No, that's awesome.
Yeah, and hilly country as well. Mm. They are, as a country, very conservation-minded. The farmers would talk about the things they were required to do, you know, and I think they were in generally good stewards, but there's quite a few requirements in that country as far as you'll see fields and there'll be a tree out in the middle of the field. And, you know, once you cut that down so you just have a field, we can't, you know, so they have to leave their tree. So that was a little different. We went to a research farm that was talking about measuring the carbon emissions in chambers on their cows so that people all over the world could model more about how efficiently cows were producing and so forth.
Yeah. So there are things that we can take from this visit that use here in this state or that we already have maybe. But that's interesting. Because I think that we often think, and this is me speaking, you know, projecting a little bit too, but oftentimes we think of our influence on other countries and other things. We're just as, influenced by others at times.
Oh, for sure. I guess the sense I got about us in the U.S. and Australia is if you travel, you sometimes get dropped down a peg or two your estimation of how great the U.S. mm-hmm, is or we mm-hmm. are as Americans. But actually, Australia gives you a sense of being a common spirit. They're pretty happy to see Americans, and they felt like most of the military actions that ever happened, they were in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. They've been there with us. It's a pretty friendly country that way.
Yeah. I want to touch on just a little bit other part of this when we come back. We'll take our break. We'll get that out of the way, and we'll come back with more of Matt Lippert from UW Extension here on Morning Magazine at WFHR. Welcome back to Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It's funny. I was just telling Matt our system was acting up a little bit. we're here to talk with Matt Lippert, Ag News, Ag Conversation. And we were just talking about your trip to Australia and something that you and I have talked about. I was curious. Here in the States, we've had an issue, and we've talked about, I don't know the proper wording for this, but of young people taking over the family farm. Mm-hmm. And that. Did you see any of that, or did that conversation come up at all in Australia? I'm curious to know if they have a similar thing there.
So I think we've talked about young people not taking over the family farm sometimes.
Right, right. Yes. Yeah.
I think they have it more extreme than we do.
Really?
So at one point not too long ago, I don't actually know when, the Australian dollar and the U.S. dollar were on par. But now the Australian dollar is only about two-thirds of a U.S. dollar. They have a lot of immigration in the country, I think because it is so empty that they do need people. And people move there for economic opportunity. So you have to discount it for that 66 cents or whatever on the dollar.
Yeah.
But beginning wage, if you get a job as a waiter, which we encountered a lot of waiters at restaurants and stuff, beginning wage is $35 an hour.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that's 20 at least. It's over 20
yeah.
if you convert to our money. So, and we met a lot of people. Where are immigrants coming from to Australia? They're coming from Asia, and they're coming from South America. But they all need to speak pretty good English to function in the country.
Yeah.
So that same good pay that's attracting immigrants is making it even a more of a struggle to convince the next generation that they should stay down home on the farm.
Right.
Because they just have so many other opportunities elsewhere. So it's not a bad thing. They actually are decreasing milk production, which is interesting. There's a few countries in the world that are just kind of backing out of the dairy industry, and a lot of it's about labor. I know you asked about that retention, but another unique Australian thing is it's really can be an extreme. You know, they have 110 degree days, yeah. Not a rare thing there.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have what we're still living our winter. I guess today qualifies as spring.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
But
Wisconsin spring.
But they have really extreme. They have really intense heat. Even in the more moderate parts of the country, it can get really, really hot. And they have extreme droughts, and then they've just had flooding. So that's hard on a farmer, too.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about conservation, another reason why farmers are involved in conservation is they occupy so much of the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to be.
So now kind of piggybacking, bringing us back to the States here and everything, that we have that problem here, of course, as well. And as to your point, not as bad. But when we talk about young farmers, when we talk about the getting young farmers to stay in the industry or to bring farmers into the industry, one of the other things I've heard recently in some of the news I was reading from Brownfield and everything, we're seeing not a huge spike or a huge number, but of new farms being built, of people starting like, I'm done with the corporate world. I want to buy some land. I want to start my own farming. We're seeing a little bit of that. So that's encouraging, I would think. But we're still looking at young farmers. We're still looking to make more young farmers, have more young people in this industry. I think for a lot of us looking on the outside in, it looks a certain way. You're actually in the industry. You have a farm. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing?
Labor, I just was answering some questions for a high school ag instructor that was talking to his students about labor. We've talked about robotic milking of cows.
Mm-hmm.
That's appealing if you can't find people to milk your cows.
Yeah,
let's automate. Yeah. We know about a lot of cow milkers. 55% of the, I just had this statistic in my head. 55% of the milk in the country comes from herds of over 1,000 cows. Okay, we only have a couple herds in Wood County that are even at that 1,000 pounds. So that's not really mimicking our local situation, but those large herds tend to have immigrant Hispanic workers typically. So labor is a huge issue in agriculture.
Yeah.
So another, I think we were talking about, we'll capture this in the census of agriculture, which all of us have filled out our census. It happens every 5 years. But then it takes like another year before it gets dropped back to us, what the results are. But yeah, we've been finding new smaller farms, and then it's like, well, what is a farm? Because they have like a threshold. If you sell $500 worth of product, you're a farmer.
Okay.
Well, that can be garden size scale, you know.
Yeah.
What we see is new entrants. Not that there aren't any. There's some people that are well capitalized and come in and actually typically they come from Europe where they've sold their farm. And they come to the U.S. and they have 1,000 or 5,000 cow dairy. But a lot of the people that get in are, like you said, is they're doing it for their own personal reasons. They want to be involved in agriculture and their own business. And they probably start small and maybe in produce or farmers markets and things. So that's really a neat story, is all the diversity of different types of agriculture that we have.
We're seeing more and more, especially in the last 5 years, of people wanting to be more independent, wanting to be their own boss.
Oh, the pandemic situation, right? Let's make our own bread and let's grow our own food.
Yes. I wonder how many, obviously plenty of people, you know, had that bread maker they never actually used. That kind of thing happened to a lot of us during the pandemic. But there, for every person that was like that, there's some people that found something there that found
And that's that glimmer. I'm glad you say that some people found it, because I do, as an extension educator, get these phone calls about, I've never scratched the soil, I just bought this property and I want to grow lots of things. And it's like, do you know how much work weeds are? Tillage. And so a lot of people, more people should have that experience, because then they appreciate more what farmers are actually doing.
Yeah.
And sometimes when they're thinking that agriculture approaches stuff, I don't know, too business-wise, not holistically enough, see how holistic you're going to be when you have to kill the pest that's eating your potato plant.
Right, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So, yeah.
Huh. When it comes to the issue here that we're talking about with, having more young people into this industry or keeping the industry alive and those things, again, as an outsider looking at it, I think that there's been way too much put on the ag industry when it comes to this. I think the rest of society needs to be helping with that. We eat the food from the ag industry. We get a lot from it, obviously. We should be contributing to helping keep it alive. Whether it's lawmakers, it's citizens, there are plenty of things that it feels like we could be doing outsiders to help this industry. Is there anything, putting you on the spot and throwing this question at you, that you can think of off the top of your head that it would also be beneficial to helping this issue?
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about what I see some groups local that I work with that are agricultural related addresses more people being involved in farming. Mm-hmm. So we feel that too many high school age students get a wrong. So agriculture is an industry, and it's not just the farmer. It's the people that develop the fertilizers, the technology, the tractors, the knowledge to run the farm. Mm-hmm. And then there's people that process the products from the farm. So there's this whole spectrum of agriculture-related businesses. So we've had some career day-type events recently where the kid says, well, you know, I'm really pretty good at math, and I'm probably going to be an accountant. And so agriculture isn't for me. And then if you go Marshfield more than here in Rapids, but over in Point as well, how many places you might be the accountant for a potato farm or a cheese manufacturer, and you're going to be involved in agriculture because that's what the business is in that area. So no matter what, you know, they're good at computer programming, I'm not going to be in agriculture. Agriculture is deeply immersed in computer technology. So pretty much anything a young person's heart desires, they should not write off that if they want to stay in an area that's agricultural, that they might be doing some of that.
That is incredible. That is a really smart angle on things, and a way to help this industry while also people not necessarily giving up that path. It's just taking it in a different direction. It's just going, you know, you're the accountant, like you said, but going into it in the ag industry.
Right.
That's going to benefit this industry as well. That's a really...
When the accountant steps out from the front office and says this inventory isn't right, and they got to know their difference between their russets and their chipping potatoes or whatever, they're going to learn some agriculture in the process, right?
I'm so glad that came up, Matt, because that's really interesting, and I can't be the only one that grabbed a little hope from that. That found a little hope in that, and that we can always use more of that with anything in life. Wrapping up, there was one other thing I did want to touch on with you, and it kind of ties all of this together. From Brownfield News, I read an article recently about farmer sentiment improving in the latest ag economy. The mood of our farming industry, obviously every farmer is different, everybody's mood's going to be different. Overall, as a whole, as a sum, how are we doing with this industry? Is the industry feeling the mood of the industry?
I think they do those multiple times a year, and they're really pretty closely related to the economics at that time. So, like in our dairy sector, I'd say grain, a lot of sectors of agriculture, they just finished their taxes for 2022, and they had a pretty good year.
Yeah.
And so there are reasons beyond just the balance sheet, what your mood is, definitely. But that's an important one. And so you'll see that barometer. They do it also on bankers' attitude. What are bankers' attitude about the economy, right? So I think that's a reflection that we had some pretty good. And part of in central Wisconsin, in dairy and so forth, it's partly been our ability to export to other countries. Some of these countries, in general, their economies are improving, and then when they improve, most of us here in the U.S. Don't upgrade our diet a whole lot. Maybe we eat a little less fast food and go to a sit-down restaurant more, or maybe we eat out more than at home. Mm-hmm. Maybe it happens a little bit, but in the U.S. we tend to buy a nicer car or when we're more affluent. But in other countries, one of the first things they do when they have more spending money is they eat a little better. And sometimes those products are products that come from the U.S.
Ag Discovery Days, that was one that I certainly wanted to mention as well. That's coming up, I believe. Or is it that we already have this?
The one I think you're talking about, we had
right. Okay, that was, how did that go? How was the event? Were you out of state when that happened? Or
no. I was. So we had a career event at Marshfield. Is that the one?
Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So they had it at Mid-State Technical College,
yep,
and they had it at UW Stevens White Marshfield campus, and they also had a whole ag segment at H&S Manufacturing. So that's a manufacturer that makes farm equipment. And so part of it is kids could learn about how technology is used in the making of farm equipment, how they design the equipment, how they use robotics for welding or painting. And so, but then we had these groups of all these different ag businesses come in and talk about their business, and they're all looking for work. They're all looking for employees. So they're very happy to be involved with this. So I'd say the kids were, so with this second year we did it, so we knew a little better how to interact with high schoolers. I'd say it was very positive this year.
Good.
A lot of engagement, employers looking for interns or kids to enroll as soon as upon graduation in a training program or something like that. So I'd say it was a good event.
Very good to hear. Always enjoy the conversation, Matt. You and I always have a good time talking, and I know the audience appreciates it. If anybody out there has some follow-up questions or maybe wants to know a little bit more about some of the things you touched on, is there a way to reach you?
Well, yeah, we're in the courthouse. And you can find our phone numbers on the Wood County Directory on the internet. We have emails. So I'm Matthew with two T's, @wisc.edu, because we're part of the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Yeah.
So, you can reach us by email. We have Facebook pages.
Yeah.
phone.
Appreciate the time, Matt. I cannot wait to the next time we get together, what adventures you have been on in between that time and everything. We'll see.
Am I required to go to a foreign country?
Actually, yeah, you kind of have to now. Oh. Now you set the bar, Matt. You know, have fun traveling. We'll talk to you again soon.
It could get expensive.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about
it.
Thanks, Matt. Thank you. We'll be back with more Morning Magazine tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.